Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11. While you're turning there, I hope that everyone enjoyed the meeting this past week. If you didn't enjoy that, something's wrong with your enjoyer. Amen. God surely blessed us by visiting us here at Merville Baptist, those meetings. And sometimes you wonder, and I know, and I've said it, and it is true, that only eternity is going to explain to us and reveal to us all that was done. And you see some things during meetings like that manifested. You see some things accomplished, like Navarre getting saved. What a blessing that was. I got tickled at him that night. He was over there, knelt down right by himself. He saved right by himself. God was right there with him. He got up and turned around in his flip-flop and said, "Brother John, I just got saved." Amen. Hey, that's a blessing. When they turn around and tell you, you don't have to drag it out of them. Amen. That's a blessing. And then you wonder, "Lord, what else did you do?" And I know the Lord did some things in my heart. And I know He did, because the very Monday following, the devil jumped right in my lap. He wants to discourage. He wants to try to defeat all of that God did. And so I know that God is at work. But I wanted to read some things to you tonight. Just a couple little texts that I got from some other pastors that were here Friday and Saturday night. Brother Adam Veal was here. He's just taken a church over there. Where's he at? It's Freedom Baptist Church in Hartwell, Georgia. And Brother Adam was in Brother Lee's church, and God sent him out. I told Brother Lee, I said, "Now your coast is enlarging, Brother Lee." And that's what church is about, is training them, God using them, sending them out to other places. And Brother Adam was here with some of his people, and he shot me this text this week. He said, "Thanks for having that meeting, brother. We came back fired up yesterday," talking about Sunday. And he said, "Had good services both times, good crowds both services too. Last night blew out altars full and one surrendered to preach. Amen. God's good." So that was just some fruit that was just carrying on from that meeting. And I wanted to read you one more from Brother Lee Pointer. He again said, "Thank you for having youth rally this year. We came back fired up, had an awesome morning with two saved." And so God's always working, and we put on meetings like that, and others come, and they reap from the benefits of it. And I'm thankful just to be a part of anything that God's doing. And I'm so thankful that God can use Murrayville Baptist Church to be a blessing in other lives. And that's what ministry is all about. Is even though I know on some of you, I watched Brother Bobby the other night. He was holding his back and he barely could walk down the hallway. Him and Miss Tanya pulled all of that pork that we enjoyed. And I thank every one of you that labored so hard to make that meeting a success. And it truly was, to God's glory, a success. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Last time we were in this study on Now Faith Is, we were looking at the life of Abraham, and we looked at faith willing, and looked at a few things this past last Wednesday. But we want to continue with this thought tonight of faith willing out of the life of Abraham, and see what the Lord will do tonight. I've studied all day and prepared, and just asking God to use this message to help us to truly live by faith. And I want you to look in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'm going to ask Brother Stanley Jackson, if he will, to stand up and read out of Hebrews chapter number 11 for us tonight. And I want you to begin there, Brother Stanley, in verse number 8. Read down through verse number 19. Take your time with it, because I've got to find my notes. Amen.
By faith, Abraham, he was called to go out to the place which he should see or inherit. Obeyed, he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling
Amen. Thank you, Brother Stanley. Well, can't find the note, so we'll just trust the Lord with it tonight. Amen. In these verses that we read, 12 verses, is what God has used to describe the faith of Abraham. And in these 12 verses, I'm going to point out just three things from these 12 verses and show you some things about what faith was willing to do in Abraham's life. Abraham is a tremendous study. If you ever want to do just character studies in the Word of God, you should study the life of Abraham. He is the father of the nation of Israel, and also he's our father of the faith. And there's more about Abraham's faith in these verses than there are any other individual that God has written about in Hebrews chapter 11. And more said about Abraham's faith. And by the way, these 12 verses that cover the faith of Abraham cover the 12 chapters that these verses concern, chapter 11 through 22 of Abraham's life. That was not the end of Abraham's faith, there, chapter number 22 of Genesis. It was really the real beginning of his faith. But God has chosen to look at Abraham's faith in these 12 verses, beginning when he was called to go out, and then ending in a picture of Calvary. And these 12 verses give us an insight of what it really means to live by faith. You remember last Wednesday night I talked about how that our faith is a journey faith. We're on a journey by faith. And this is the only life that we have to live by faith. And let me stop and say right there that I'm glad that we can live by faith. I'm glad we don't have to live by what we see or what our emotions tell us. I talked with someone yesterday that came into my office to talk to me, and I sat there with them, and they kept telling me, well, I feel such a way, and I feel this way, I feel that way. And I said, you're saying, you're telling me something that really is the key to what you're going through. I said, it's your feelings. And we all have feelings, but I'm glad we don't have to live by our feelings. Sometimes my feelings are a mess. Sometimes my feelings just get all twisted up, and I don't know whether I'm headed to heaven or hell or whatever. And I mean, that's just how our feelings get sometimes. But I'm glad that we can live, hallelujah, by faith. I'm glad that we've got something that'll never change, the unchanging Word of God, written by the unchanging God Himself, that we can always go to, and it'll always tell us the truth. It never changes. It never changes its course, never changes its mind. It's always the same. And thank God we can live by faith tonight. Now, these verses which records the faith of Abraham, I want to say that his faith was a willing faith. He had a willing faith. We've looked at faith walking. We've looked at faith being warned. But in the life of Abraham, we look at faith willing. And the first thing that I want to point out to you tonight is that his faith was willing to obey. And that's what the verses 8 through 10 cover, is that his faith was willing to obey. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to go out unto a land which I will show thee of. And the Bible tells us that he went out not knowing where he went. Now, brethren, that took a lot of faith. And you know, that's, I guess, I've been pastoring now 25 plus years, and I guess of all the things that I've seen done, all the people that I've talked to down through the years, my personal experiences, the unknown of trusting God is always the hardest thing for us to overcome. We say, yes, we trust the Lord, but then do we really trust Him when we don't know all the details about what's going to come through that trust? You see what I'm saying? I mean, yes, we trust you in this area, Lord, but really deep down inside, there's those question marks that we wonder. I wonder what God's going to do here. I wonder what God's going to do in this situation. I wonder if this were to happen. And the question marks of faith is really what bothers us to really live by faith. And here it said that when Abraham was called to go out and inherit a land, said that he just simply obeyed. You know, we would be a lot better off in our lives if we just simply obeyed God. I knew I wouldn't get many amens on that. You know, if we just simply obeyed God, we'd fare out a lot better. But here's what we do. God will say something to us, speak to our heart, maybe use the Word of God, or maybe speak to our spirits by His Spirit. And then we start debating, should I? Shouldn't I? Maybe that really wasn't God. But we would fare out better as individuals. We would fare out better as families. We would certainly fare out better as a church if all of us would just simply obey God. The Bible says that God called Abraham and he obeyed. And we see that his faith was willing to obey. In verse number 8, he was willing to obey his call. I mean, he just simply was called by God to do something that it didn't take mountain moving faith to do what Abraham did in verse 8. It was just a call to go. Just simply remember from last Wednesday night, I told you if I'd had a map up here, Abraham lived over here. God wanted Abraham to go over here, but because of some things in Abraham's life, Abraham wound up going way up there to where the screen is before he ever got to really where God wanted him to go. Now, I want you to think about that journey that Abraham took. I've read that it was about 1,000-mile journey. It was not some little hop, skip, and jump. It was not, they didn't have jet airplanes. They didn't have helicopters. They certainly didn't have automobiles. What they had was camels and their feet. And he traveled over 1,000 miles to get to where God wanted him to go. I know something about his obedience. He was committed to the call. There's a lack today of being committed to what God's called us to do. We see people quit all the time and they're falling out on the right side, on the left side, and people are just quitting on God. Hey, this is not just a little run, a 100-yard trot. This is a marathon that we are in, and there are going to be some hard times come our way. Can you imagine Abraham in the hot sun, that sun blaring down on him and no air-conditioned building to run into? Can you imagine Abraham on that journey and there's no Walmart for his wife to stop at and get some sandals? I got tickled at Becky, who was it that was just in with us? Huh? C.T. Townsend's wife, Becky. Yeah, I remember well. I remember I got tickled at her on Saturday, the last day that they were here. She had forgotten to get her some flip-flops or some sandals. And all she had was high-heel shoes on, and she had on a jean skirt and high-heel shoes. Well, you know, to a woman, stuff like that bothered them. You know, I was going to carry them out to eat, and I did. And she said, Jared, C.T., let me walk behind you so nobody will notice. There ain't nobody, as I'm a man, I don't think, women think weird. I mean, they just weird in the way they think. And she was worried about somebody seeing them high heels with that jean skirt. And so we got in and I said, I am just so totally ashamed of even having to walk with you in here and just making over, you know, and all like that. And she said, I know. And she noticed every woman, and it was women, she noticed every woman that noticed her high heels. And you know what she said? She said, I really would rather go get some shoes first and then let's go eat. But we was hungry. So us and men, we took a pole and we went to eat first. Amen. And you know, can you imagine, here's Abraham on a journey. He doesn't know where he's going. And he's out there in the desert sun, sand up under their feet, sand getting in their shoes, in their clothing. And don't you know, somewhere along the line, Miss Abraham, Sarah, she said, "Are you sure? Are you really sure we're doing what God? I mean, let's turn back and let's check out of this thing." Don't you know there was some in his company that started second guessing Abraham? "Abraham, now tell me, where are we going?" And Abraham says, "I don't know. He must have been a Jackson. I don't know. Where are we going? I don't know." He would have never gotten any missionary support going around the churches. "Where are you going to go missionary, Abraham?" "I don't know. God ain't shown me yet, but I'm just trusting God." "Yeah, there you go. I'm just trusting God." And so Abraham's on this journey of 1,000 miles. There's obstacles in his way. There's troubles in his way. There's hardships in his way. And brethren, he stayed with God and endured the hardness and just stayed with what God called him to do. Brethren, we need to learn something about the Christian life, that we need to learn to endure hardness, because there are going to come hard times in all of our lives. One of the passages that I thought about as I was studying for this message was the passage where Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, "Timothy," he said, "endure hardness as a good soldier." He didn't tell Timothy to get hard. He told him to endure hardness. And brethren, there's going to come things our way that are hard. We don't understand. It's going to take us buckling down and just going with God. But brethren, we need to endure the hardness and go on with God through thick and through thin. I like those Christians that when the money's coming in, they're there. And when it's not coming in, they're there. I like those Christians that when it's going good, they're there. And when it's not going good, they're there. I mean, that's the ones you know that you can count on. And that's the ones that God knows that He can count on. It's when the hardness comes in our lives. Brethren, it's not a time to lay down and quit and go back to Haran or go back to where you, the Ur of the Chaldees. It's not a time to go back. He said if they were mindful of the country which they did come out of, they might have returned. Brethren, you know, I believe some Christians get to thinking about how good it used to be as a lost person. Can I remind you of all the heartaches that every one of us that lived in the world for any time, of the heartaches that we had? It was not a good life. It was a horrible life. It was a horrible pit. And thank God, He heard my cry when I was in that pit, got me out of that pit, and put me on a solid rock. I'm thankful tonight for the times that God has shown me where I have come from. But thank God for the times He showed me where I am headed. Amen. Amen. Brethren, we're going to have to just endure some hard times if we're going to obey God. Some think that pastors have an easy life. I know some young preachers, they see a pastor get up behind a pulpit 3 times a week and they think, man, that's the glory life. And I always talk to them if they give me the opportunity, and I try to talk them out of it. And if I can talk them out of it, I know one thing, God ain't never called them. Because if God's called you, there ain't no man can talk you out of it. Amen. I mean, if God's put preaching you, you've got to preach. Amen. It will come out. And I'll try to talk them out of it. Just don't do it from the get-go. Because I'd rather see somebody start with God and finish with God than start with God and face some hard times and see all the hard times and then run from God. May I say this tonight? I want to stay in for God. I want to stay in this thing to the finish bell rings. When God calls me home, that's when I want to lay it down and say, glory to God, I'm on my way to a different land. Amen. So his faith was, number one, willing to obey. But here's a thought. From verse 11 through verse number 16, we see Abraham's faith willing to obtain. He begins talking there about that Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. And I got to looking at that and I said, Lord, what is in there that I need? What is in there that we all need, Lord, to be able to really live by faith? And as I looked at it, it said that she received strength to be able to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. I want to remind you of what the Bible says about this part of Abraham and Sarah's life. I think it's in Genesis 17. God shows up in Abraham's life. He's called him now, and Abraham's on his journey. And at the age of 99 years old, and Sarah is 90, God looks at Abraham at the age of 99 years old and says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And you know what the Bible says about Abraham? He says he laughed at him in his heart. And he thought to himself, am I, being the age that I am I going to be able to bear fruit? And then in chapter 18, Abraham got to his tent and told Sarah that they were going to have a child. God has told me. Can you imagine? Here they are out there in the desert living in tents, nowhere to call their own. No Walmart, no new clothes, no nothing. I mean, it's just wasteland. It's just sun. It's just winds. And now he tells her at the age of 90, Sarah, God's told me that we're going to have a child. You know what the Bible says that she did, and God was standing right outside the tent? She laughed. And you know, sometimes our faith will laugh at the promises of God. Oh, yeah, that'll work for them, but that'll never work for me. Oh, yeah, that might happen to the preacher, but I could never do that. Oh, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but. And instead of living in the promised land, we're living in the excuse land. We become like Moses, who told God, Lord, I can't. There's just no way that I can go and be a leader of your people. I'm not eloquent in speech. And they begin making their excuses. And how many of us have lived off of excuses instead of the promises of God? And brethren, there's still a lot of promises in the Word of God for us to accomplish in this life. The Bible still says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brethren, sometimes it gets mighty hard. The hardness gets so hard that we come to a place in our lives where we're just willing to level off. And we really don't want God to increase our faith, because it means that we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and no telling what God's going to do in our lives. Here's a man, 99 years old, a woman, 90 years old, and God's outside their tent telling them that they're going to have a child, and they're both laughing in their hearts. And God's saying, why are you laughing? And you know what the very next verse says in chapter 18? They've had songs written about this verse. Preachers have preached messages about this verse. Poems have been written about this verse. God says this, is anything
too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? They were right there at a promise of God giving them a child, an old man, an old woman, and the old woman thinking, I'll never be able to do that. The old man thinking, I'll never be able to do that. And God on the outside of the tent and them saying, we can't do it. But there was a God on the outside that could do it. Amen. And brothers, sometimes our faith gets to a point where we think, I've been through too much. I'm just tired of this. Their faith was willing to obtain more faith to believe God so that they could bring in the promised child. Brethren, how many times in my life, they say confession's good for the soul. How many times in my life I've felt like, God, I just cannot go any further. God, what I'm facing right now is just too big. It's just too much, Lord. I'm not going to make it through this one. Lord, I'm not going to be able to endure this one. And I just get content in the faith where I'm at. And you know what? In the faith of where I'm at, I never will make it through it. I never will see God come through for me, because it's by faith that God works in our lives. But when I make up my mind that I'm ready for God to do something in me, God, give me more faith. God, do something more in my life. God, I'm so weak, I cannot do it. That's when faith will stand up and faith will obtain the needed faith to go on for the glory of God. Brethren, their faith not only was willing to obey, their faith was willing to obtain. I do believe that there's a lot of children of God that have drawn the line on God and said, God, this is as far as I'm going to let you take me on this journey, and I'm not going to go any further. And their faith will dwindle away right there in the land of a drawn line. The Bible says about the nation of Israel, said that they limited God. They said, God, I just cannot go. I don't want to go on any further. I don't want to see what else you've got in store for me. I don't want to know anything else about you, Lord. I'm just at a comfortable place. Brethren, sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort zones and go on for God and be willing to obtain the promises He's given us. Sometimes we get to thinking, I can't do it. You're right. None of us can do it. The older I get in the Lord, the more I realize this one truth. I need Him. I need Him. And before we'll ever be able to do anything, we've got to come to the realization, without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. I can do nothing. But hallelujah, with Him, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen. Brethren, there's more faith for you. I believe I'll just say that one again. There's more faith for you. There's more to your faith than what you're living in right now. We get to thinking, man, we've gone as far as we can in this thing. No, their faith at 99 and 90 years old, and God visited them and brought forth the promised seed, Isaac, just like He said He would. Why? It was because they were willing to reach for it. They were willing to strive for it. They were willing to believe in God. They were willing for God to take them over the threshold. They were willing for God to carry them on in their lives. And brethren, we've got to be willing by faith to obtain the strength we need to fulfill the promises of God. She received strength. Have you ever been at a point in your life where you were so weak that you just said, God, there's no way I can go another inch. There's no way, Lord, I can go another step in this thing. Lord, I'm too weak. Brethren, it's at those times in our lives that we need to be willing to obtain the strength from God, to believe Him and go on. I remember a preacher
I don't remember who the preacher was, but I remember a preacher quoting another preacher. And they said something like this. This other preacher was struggling in some areas of his life. And he said this, and it's always made a mark in my spirit. And I've always, at times, God would call this back up to my remembrance. But this preacher said this to God. He said, God, I'm not willing, but I am willing for you to make me willing. That's high living. That's trusting God to work in your life the way God wants it to work. His faith was willing to obey. His faith was willing to obtain. You see, it says in verse number 13 that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It didn't mean that they never got any promises fulfilled in their lives. It just means before they ever received the promise, they saw the promises way down the road. And they said, that's what I want. That's what I want. They had a vision of something greater in their future than what they were experiencing at the time. And brethren, it breaks my heart to see children of God just get to a point in their life where they throw up their hands and they say, there's no use in me going on. There's no use in me doing it anymore. There's no use. There's just no use. Hey, there's still a God in heaven. He's still our Heavenly Father. He still saved us and still loves us and still cares about our life. There is a God in heaven. And I remember when that God showed up in the New Testament, He said this, for with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Have you ever looked right square in the face at an impossibility? In the face of every impossibility, there's a God of possibility to make it happen. His faith was willing to obey. His faith was willing to obtain. But then lastly, I draw your attention to verses 17 through verse 19. His faith was willing to offer up Isaac. Now I want you to remember who Isaac is. Isaac is the promise. He obtained that promise by believing God and God bringing it to pass. And now God asked him to take that promise and he said, now give it to me. Lay it right here. Just give it to me. I can imagine as that daddy thought about that promise, I can imagine his mind went back to the day he first held that child. How thrilled they were at the age of 100 to be having this child. And I mean, it was an impossibility that they could even have it. But yet there they are holding by the promise and power of God a little child. And now God, I imagine as he holds that little child, then his mind went to teaching that little child to walk and taking them first steps. And come on, son, come on. You can do it. Come on, son. And you know how we always remember those first steps of our children. And how that he would teach his boys how to walk in the ways of the Lord. And all the investment and all the time that Abraham had put into Isaac's life. They say that Isaac is probably in his teen years, I don't really know at this time in Genesis chapter number 22. I don't know, but I can imagine there's Abraham thinking about all that investment that he has placed into Isaac. And then he gets to thinking, God, you told me that this was the promised seed. You told me that by this seed, all the earth was going to be blessed. God, what are you trying to do? But you know what the Bible says when God told him to offer up Isaac? You know what the Bible says about Abraham? It said he rose up early in the morning. I guess one of the hardest I want every parent in this room to please listen to this preacher. I guess one of the hardest things any parent has to do, there's one prayer that we have to pray somewhere in their lives, and that is the hardest prayer that a parent's ever got to pray. It's, Lord, take yours. As long as we got our hands on them, we're okay. But now God's asking Abraham, said, Abraham, take your hands off of him and off him up to me. Some of the hardest prayers I've ever prayed in my life concern my children. I never knew what my mother meant after I was called to preach. And as a matter of fact, I was her pastor when she told me this. The whole time I pastored in Waycross, Mother was, I was her pastor. And I went by to see her one day, and we were sitting there, and she said, Son, I have prayed more for you since you've left home than I did while you were at home. And I guess some of the hardest prayers that we ever have to pray is when we offer up our children. He said, Abraham, take that son, your only one. And he said, offer him to me in the land of Moriah, on a mount that I'm going to show thee of. Oh, my mind goes back to about 2,000 years ago where there was another father that had to do the same thing and offer up his only begotten son for the sake of the entire world to be saved. And Abraham begins that journey. And it's a 3-day journey, the Bible says. And they finally get there on the third day. And don't you know in the mind of Abraham, there's all of these envisions. And don't you know that on that 3-day journey, don't you know the devil played tricks on his mind and messed with his mind? I want to say it again loud and clear tonight. I hate Satan. I purely hate the devil. Man, he's messed with my mind. He's messed with your mind. He's messed with churches. He's tore up churches. He's tore up families. He's ruined individual lives. I hate Satan tonight. I hate to see the way that he messes with us. And don't you know, on that 3-day journey, Satan messed with his mind and tried to talk him out of doing the very thing God told him to do. And I can see Abraham as they finally get there, and there's that mountain. Oh, what a mountain. Right in front of him. And God says, that's the place. Abraham had carried a couple of men with him. He said, me and the lads are going to go yonder and worship, and we will be back. Something had settled in Abraham's heart. And he knew one way or the other that God was going to do a miracle for that boy. Y'all ain't listening to me tonight. He knew. Something had happened in his faith that he knew when he took that boy. And the Bible says that they went, both of them together, up the hill. And said they got up there, said they put the wood on Isaac. Picture of Christ toting the cross. And carried that wood, and said Abraham had the fire and had the knife in his hand. And said while the two of them were going up that hill, said Isaac looked over at Daddy and said, Dad, where's the lamb? Behold the wood, the fire. Behold, where's the lamb at? Listen to what Abraham said. God will provide himself. God will provide himself.
Himself. That's what God said to Abraham, one of the greatest pictures of Mount Calvary ever recorded in the Word of God. And may I say this tonight, that one of the hardest things that we ever have to do is give our children to the Lord, but they're in a lot better hands with the Lord than they are in our hands. Even though we love them so much, the will of God for our children is the best place for them to be. There they were up on the mountain. And by the way, may I say this? I've had to pray a prayer. And the prayer was hard to come by. But I finally managed to get it out. And the prayer went like this. Lord, whatever it takes. That's hard. That's hard to pray a prayer like that because I know that it could affect me. It could affect my wife. It could affect my children. I know that when God gets so involved in it, that it could affect a lot of things. But I'm confident of this one thing, that God has our best interest at heart. And the book still says, and we know, that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And that's the promise that we've got. Abraham's faith was willing to obey. It was willing to obtain. But his faith was willing to offer the best thing that he ever had. And brothers and sisters, until we get to a point where we're ready to live at Calvary with our lives, we're not really living by faith. Had somebody tell me, a little while back, it seems like for the last, I don't know, Deb, I guess maybe 3 months or more, it almost seems like every day somebody either calls or somebody comes by, somebody sits in my office just to talk to me about some things. And it just seems like for the last little while that God's just kind of put me into a kind of a counseling mode. And every time that I do, it helps me. Every time I do, when I sit down with them, I begin talking about things, it helps me. And I had this individual tell me, they said that it's nobody that goes to this church, has not ever been to this church or anything like that. I take that back. They have been one time on school bus Sunday, that silver bus Sunday we had. They did come then. They came that morning. And I was talking to them over in the fellowship hall. That's where it was. I was trying to remember all the details of it. And I was inviting this particular individual to come back. And he started saying some things, and I said, oh, a man of no commitment. He said, no, it's not anything to do with that. No, it ain't got nothing to do with my commitment. What are you talking about? I said, I'm sorry. The way you were talking, I just saw a man of no commitment. And he was telling me every reason why he wouldn't come to church and why he was against organized religion and all like that. And so, anyway, I had the opportunity to talk to him again. And we were talking. And he said, hey, preacher. He said, you remember the other day when you told me that? I said, yeah, I do. He said, it was like you was reading my life. I said, it wasn't me. It was somebody else. He said, it was like you knew me. He said, I told my wife it was like that preacher knew me. And he told me things about myself I didn't like and didn't like to hear. He said, but you know what? You're right. And he said, I'm going to tell you why I don't like commitment, especially to a church. I said, why? He said, because I've been hurt so many times in a church. And there have been so many hard times in my life. And he said, to be honest with you, he said, I don't know how to handle it. And he did his arms like that. He said, I don't know how to handle it. And he said, that's why I don't go. I said, I remember somebody else that had a hard time with the church. And all the church turned against him. And all the church betrayed him. And all those that he had done good for turned their back on him, spit in his face, and betrayed him and crucified him to an old rugged cross. I said, but he was committed to our cause. And I said, the only way you're ever going to learn to live with it is to learn to live at Calvary. And brother, the only way that we're going to be able to learn to live with certain things that come in our lives is by learning to live at Calvary. I'm convinced that there would be, see how I can put this, I'm convinced that there'd be a lot more serving God if it didn't cost so much. To get saved don't cost us a thing. It cost Him everything. But to serve Him, it'll cost you some things. It'll cost your control. It'll cost your hands-on. It'll cost you letting God be God in your situation, in your family, in your life, in the church. And brother, sometimes that's one of the hardest things that we ever have to do. Offer it up to God. Somebody said it during our meeting, I believe they did. Julie, you come to the piano. Somebody said it during our meeting, and I think it was, that sometimes we come down and we pray over a situation, and we pray about it. But when we get up, we carry it right back to the seat with us and sit back down with it. And brethren, I know that there's things in all of our lives. There's things in my life, in your life. But somewhere in our lives, we've got to trust God.